Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. I'm your host today, Beatrice, and today I'm joined by
Gloria,
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
What interests me? Oh, damn. Joy Swifty Stones on Twitter.
And Moya at Moya's Laboratory.
Okay, we're going to start at the Tottenham Stadium where City failed to close the gap on Arsenal. Joyce?
You guys all came in black here. Coming to this you're not only here in colour as well. It's not looking good, man. Should I came here when we smoked Spurs the first time? But yeah, man. What do you even say to that? To be quite honest, especially after yesterday and Arsenal dropping points and whatever, you think we're going to close the gap? We have to. But at the same time, we have to realise we haven't won at Spurs Stadium since 2018. There hasn't been, and I feel like the aura that we have to this is pretty much like equivalent of like Spurs playing at the Emirates sort of thing. There's this weird mental barrier that we can't seem. We haven't even gotten a goal, single goal
at your new stadium.
Not even a single goal. So you've got to be thinking at this point, we don't like calling ourselves like mentality monsters. That one, we can keep it for Liverpool. We're not like that. But
sad.
At this point, we need to inherit their dog. But even these guys don't have dogs. They got smoked 3-0. So I guess we don't, even the people that are supposed to be having it don't have it right now. But yeah, I woke up at 5 p.m. yesterday. I thought I woke up on a different world, man. Literally, I was so confused. I went to bed at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. I woke up. It was dark. I saw what? Arsenal lost 1-0. Liverpool lost 3-0. I was even wondering if the war in Ukraine had ended. I thought, damn, I genuinely thought, damn, I woke up in a whole new world. I thought world peace was about. Only for this to happen. Pep Guardiola, you know how to, you know, make someone feel something. Because this is crazy, man. It's actually so bad. But like, I don't know. I don't even know where to start because, to be fair, that comeback that we had at home against Spurs, I thought this is where it starts. Like, this is where we get this random City bounce where we have three games, like 9 games on trot, unbeaten. Arsenal? I'm not saying it's yours just yet because we fight to the end, but it's not looking good, man. It's not looking good. Nah. But yeah, where do we even start? From the first minutes, it's looking sloppy. The last like 3-4 games, no, there's no progression coming up like towards the pitch sort of thing. You're seeing sloppy passes here and there. There's just no like good chemistry going on. Like this weird like fluidity that we saw from City a season back, 2 seasons back, it's just not there. And I don't exactly know what we're missing. Some people say, oh, it's Haaland's fault that, you know, we're playing a bit differently. But I think it's got a lot to do with man management as well. Pep's not doing his job making sure that these people are playing cohesively. That's not necessarily down to the players. It's down to how you play those players. And that's your job as the manager to be putting, you know, the right formations out and whatever. And we can go down to even talking about defensively, our defending periods, as much as these people are pretty much made of glass at this point. And there was even rumours of Ake being injured before kickoff. And I thought, oh no, no, I can't do this, man. I can't do this. But Stones is, you know, he's out for a month now and everything else. And you think, you know, I sound like Fabian Delph here, but you've got to go back to the basics, man. You've got to go back to the basics. We've got defensive pairings that work. You've got Diaz and Laporte sitting on the bench. What are we doing? What are we actually doing with ourselves now? Because it's actually frustrating to see Ake's finally getting his come up. You've got Rico Lewis, that's absolutely amazing. And I've said this in previous episodes, that's me spoiling something, but but like, he's hit the ground running, sort of thing, but he's also still slightly playing like an 18-year-old, and you know what, fair play to him. It's one of those things that has to happen in order to like develop as a player. But when you've got such like concrete pairings like Laporte and Diaz, and maybe they're not our strongest pairing, but they're the ones that are available there. There's no cohesion there in terms of defense. You've got even Grealish playing out back. He might as well have been our centre back as well. This man was doing more defensively than he was doing offensively, to be quite honest. And I don't want to get into Grealish because I've got such a soft spot for that man. But yeah, I got such a soft spot for him. But there was times where he was looking a bit like Sterling, and you know, it was a bit.
Some respect on Sterling's name.
No. Yeah, I don't say Sterling in like. See? No, well, not. I don't say Sterling as in when he's playing positively, but where the nothingness that came from Sterling sometimes, where it was just wasted ball, like ball, you were hogging the ball and not getting
That's
anywhere.
More
we're seeing,
of Grealish.
Yeah. I mean, Grealish at City under this current system, 100%. Whatever Pep is telling these players to do with that ball that is making us pass out wide all the time, pass, and it's not progressively getting anywhere into a bit of danger. This is what I mean. I was looking at it and I saw Grealish and I'm there like shouting, take on your man, take on your man. You're moving like Sancho, man. Take on your man, take on your man. Like, what's going on?
We're just naming bare players. Compare them to people in your team.
But, man, I don't want to say like, well, hope is gone, because that's no way to properly look about it and all like, our fans will go, yeah, we fight to the end. We've done it countless of times now, where we spin the whole trick like track around. But like, I can't see it happening right now. Like, with the morale that we've got at the moment, even after offloading Cancelo, I don't know what's going on. But they need to fix it. I need to fix it fast, because I'm going to watch us on the 15th, and you better not upset me, because I'm going to work right after the game.
All right, let's break down some of the points you mentioned. So you said Jack Grealish, for example, isn't taking on his man. Mm-hmm. And that also probably means that they're not, the wingers aren't getting the ball into Haaland.
Yeah.
100%. What is Pep doing about that? Is that a player issue? Is that a Pep issue?
I 100% want to put it down to Pep, because at the end of the day, those boys are coming onto the pitch performing the instructions that Pep is giving them. Whatever they've done in training, that's what Pep has installed into the guys on the pitch and whatever else. So, and it's unfortunate, because it's becoming very, very predictable. People are closing down, and we'll even go into the whole bit of Haaland not being able to get the ball, because if we talk about him in the big six and whatever, and everyone goes, oh, really, really spooky, you know. Well, I'm not gonna forget like his hat trick. I'm not gonna forget his hat trick.
Stop mentioning hat trick when his Eriksen and McTominay tacks. That was the pivot that he met there on that day.
But like, it is just one of those things where we're being forced wide, and we're losing any chance of kind of getting it into like those central areas. You see there's space in the middle, and no one's going deep down. So I don't exactly know what he's instructing those guys to do with passing those balls out wide. But
you
there's
see,
such
I
a.
I think it's quite unfair to put it all on Pep, because we've seen Pep train players and tell them, "Oh, you've got to be more decisive. You've got to go."
Oh, 100%.
But some players don't listen. No offense, but Grealish could be one of those guys.
Yeah,
just don't listen to instruction.
Grealish, it's not a case of he's not listening. I don't want to be rude, but I just think there's only so much instruction he can take on.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't think he, because Southgate says the same thing about him, that he doesn't trust him tactically to follow the instruction. That's why he doesn't play him. And I think Grealish is doing the best that he can, but I actually don't.
I think he's doing that.
I don't know. I just think tactically, there's only so much instruction he can take on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like he can do better though than what he's doing. I get you that tactically he's doing the best he can, but performance wise,
it's not being translated onto the pitch.
He's a lot better than what he's showing right now. I feel like right now he's more content with winning a free kick or winning a foul
than he is
than he is with actually something. Doing with actually chance creation. Like even on Romero's second yellow today, he'd already gone past the player. He'd already done shoulder drop with one player. And if he'd have gone past him, the thing is, he wanted Romero to catch him, by the way. Like he wanted, because he left his foot there and Romero then took it. But if Greece was thinking, I need to just get this ball in the box, irrespective
of... He could have stayed on his feet.
But he was content with getting the foul. And I feel that that's the problem I'm having with him right now, in the sense that like, he is a chance creator, but he's not showing that. And he's not showing that enough at City. And even when he is, it looks slightly robotic.
Yeah, 100%.
So like, it looks like, you know, you mentioned Sterling before. You know, like the goals Sterling used to score, and you know how sometimes that like, you could put together Sterling's goals and it would look the exact same because of like, Pep
muscle
almost
memory,
wants to make it muscle memory.
There you are.
He almost wants to make it muscle memory. But the type of player that Grealish is, I don't think he thrives off the movements or the actions, let's say, that Pep wants to instill into him.
No, because I think Grealish has come from Villa, the Villa Academy. It's all he's ever known. Everything went through Grealish and that team. It was give Jack the ball, run at the goal and see what he does, and hopefully he scores a goal. So I don't think that he, as a player, has had to play in a system. He's only ever played in a system that's built around him. So I think now it's not even that he's gone like it's a step up. You've then gone to Pep, who's probably
a micromanager.
He wants to muscle memory. So I think it's just, I think it really will take a long time. Or it won't happen at all. I don't know. Yes, Grealish is better and I think he can do better. But equally, I can't see him learning the way that Sterling did under Pep, personally.
I think, you have to kind of have that hunger. And where he's come from, a team where he's been the main man, that's...
You don't have to basically beg for it sort of thing, exactly.
Yeah, he just doesn't have that in his locker, so...
And also the expectation, because the main man at a team like Villa, where, okay, you can have one good game, but you can be rubbish for five games and no one cares. The standard at City is you have to be consistent every single game.
And people notice when you're hiding behind other people. Like, you can't get away with just being on the side trying to, you know, escape criticism. It doesn't work like that, does it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the lineup. So KDB benched. Give us some insight as to why Pep may have gone with that decision.
At this point in the season, you've got to be making those hard decisions. I don't think it's a hard decision because realistically, the man hasn't been playing too par since the World Cup, and someone can come and beat me if they want to, but he hasn't been. That's a fact. I've watched him in person four times, and part of that loss of possession is also coming from him, which is very, very shocking as supposedly the main like creative player and whatever and chance creator. It's going through him and he's losing it at the same time, and we're just thinking, where's the hunger? Like, where's this guy that was tying up his shoelace when we were 2-0 down at Aston Villa or whatever, and decided, you know what, this is ours to take. And there's no, and the thing is, it's not just him, but there's no, like, I'm not feeling the passion and desire that like this City's team's supposed to be having. Apparently. There isn't. And like, they're just kind of hoping.
Do you think it's realistic to expect a player every season to put out the same output?
Oh yeah, of course not. People are allowed. I think people, players will always be allowed to have their flop moment. But you know, as pundits and commentators and even admirers of the game, you're all still going to be hard on those players regardless. These people aren't just players, they're human beings. People do have their downtime and whatever. And unfortunately, it's come at a really bad time where now the world is basically depending on us to stop Arsenal from winning the league. And this guy's not doing his thing no more. I say it's disappointing, but at the same time, it's one of those things that has to be done to set a standard at City and go, you know what, if you're not playing well, you don't deserve to start. Regardless of if it's a big game and, you know, whatever aura you used to have for the team and you're supposed to be that guy for us, if you're not playing well recently, you don't get on. That's it.
Do you think him starting would have changed the result?
I don't necessarily think so. Not really, and to be fair, the goal that we conceded was a defensive error as well. So I don't know.
So what went wrong today? Was it just defensively that you were poor?
I think a lot of our problem actually stems from our midfield more than it stems from either end, because there's nothing being done creatively to push anything further, and we're playing out back a lot more than we should be as well. And you're seeing a lot more errors from Edison. I say a lot more errors from Edison. This is just Edison. Edison on a normal day. Like this man, I don't know who gave him the nickname of Shot Stopper, but that guy's not stopping no shots. That guy could not even stop like a shot of COVID vaccination if he wanted to.
When you guys were in possession and controlling.
Oh yeah, but that's kind of his job. That's the kind of, I wouldn't say the kind of goalkeeper that we've made him to be. This is when we sourced him out. This was the kind of guy that he was, and Pep's only just made him a lot better. So for us to say, oh yeah, he looks great when we're in possession. Yeah, that's his job. that guy plays like a ball playing centre back half the time.
Trapped in a goalkeeper.
Yeah, 100%. So, but it's actually irritating. Like, I'm so over it now, because we've obviously now got a different game now to be focusing on. Who do we even have next, man? Because all I can think about right now in my near sights is the game on the 15th with Arsenal. But the game after that, it should be Aston Villa, shouldn't it? I think so. I'm pretty sure it's Aston Villa.
You've got...
It will be.
City are at...
We're at home, isn't it? Yeah. So
that should be a good moment.
Should be all right.
Back. Yeah, it should be all right. Hopefully there's a bounce back. If not, the pressure is going to be. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
Right, let's move it on to Tottenham. Lauren, that was a good game for you. Can you give us like a rundown of how it went?
Yeah, to be honest, I think because of the when we got slapped 4-2, conceded all those goals in the second half. Even though to form, we beat City and. Not comfortably, but you guys you haven't scored at our stadium yet. I was going into the game thinking, defensively, are we going to keep making the errors that we have done? But when I saw City's team sheet, and I think, yes, I can appreciate that De Bruyne is not in bad form, but the aura that he gives to the opposition, he makes you stressed. If he's on the pitch, I think players panic because they think he can expose us from his range of passing. But so when I saw him on the bench, I was thinking, okay, we're in with a chance here. I don't know. For me, it was like a typical Conte performance. And because we didn't make any errors or any major errors, we kept the clean sheet. And I think we worked really, really hard. I have to say, like, I come on this pod and I complain about Emerson.
But he did his thing.
I'm going to give him his credit where his credit's due. He was my man of the match for me. I thought he did superbly well. Apart from when the team sheet came out, I didn't call for Pedro Porro once. That's how well that he played. I just think great individual performances. Højbjerg did really well in midfield. I think
saw Perisic running. I thought, damn, hey, my life, man.
Like Mahrez went off. Of course, Perisic against Mahrez. So we were lucky that Mahrez
scary.
Went off.
Scary. Kulu as well. I need this guy at Etienne. I need that guy at Etienne because the way I saw him run as well. I was moved.
He exposed Rico Lewis, I think, for just being inexperienced.
Yeah, and 100%.
That was a player that was too good for Rico Lewis. But yeah, we looked good and we worked hard and there was a cohesiveness. And I think we always get called a defensive side, but our strength is in transition. So we need to drop a little bit in order to counterattack. But actually the goal was made from pressing high. And we worked hard over the course of 90 minutes. So I'm happy. It's three clean sheets on the bounce. And we're not far off top four, and I think we're in the hunt for that. So, yeah, we keep up our record, obviously our good record against City. But, yeah, knowing that what happened at the Etihad literally like 2 or 3 weeks ago, like I'm very, very happy with the performance. And, yeah, Emerson Royale. I would have to start him next week. I can't believe it. I'm going to start next week again.
That's how United get sucked in as well, man. Yeah. That's how you get sucked in. Playing the stuff one point. Get to the bench, man. I know they're all you.
That was one of the key battles, I actually think.
That was
him versus Grealish.
And
Grealish tried, but Emerson. I couldn't believe it. There was a cross to Kane when Kane just missed it because he went with the wrong foot, the volley. And I was thinking, an accurate cross, accurate passes.
And just end up in the car park.
But yeah, it was a Conte performance. And I think it was well to do that because obviously Conte is in Italy after his surgery. So to show that they're understanding the system, the instruction, and we can execute it. I think we have a game plan that will make it very difficult for teams to beat us, but we cannot make mistakes. And today we didn't, and I think that's why we won.
Good. What about Harry Kane? Let's talk about his performance, especially in contrast to Haaland on the other end.
I mean, Kane made history. Spurs record all-time goal scorer just went past Jimmy Greaves. I think as a Spurs fan, there aren't enough words to express what Harry Kane has done for our club. He turns up in the key moments. Yeah. I mean, I think that the goal was his first touch in the game.
Pretty much.
To be that good at a level where you're always ready. But I think what Kane does, which is why Kane was Pep's first choice, is that he can connect the midfielders. He can drop deep when he needs to, but he has the finishing ability. He has the range of passing. And I think he's so unselfish as well, despite having as many goals. I just think, whether or not he stays in the summer, who knows? But
that man is tied to you guys. As much as we as football enjoyers want, him to go, he'll stay.
He'll stay.
Don't worry, you'll be beaming. We as football enjoyers, I'm upset.
Lack of ambition because he's still good enough to play at a top club.
Yeah, but what top club?
I mean, the thing is now that we're looking at everyone else's system as well.
Yeah, but the argument that they'll have is that what guaranteed are United going to win? And the answer is there's nothing guaranteed.
There's nothing guaranteed,
but he can take us to that.
He's a 20, 25, 30 goal a season striker.
Yeah, no, don't get twisted. I'll take him. Take him. I feel that the problem is going to be for him looking at United thinking, what, like, for all we know, us and them could both end up trophyless this season, next season, the season after. And then it's like, what?
Also, we'll definitely win a cup trophy before them.
Touch wood, please. I can't take it anymore. But
that's a long time.
No, honestly. And also, like, I feel like he's very comfortable with, like what Gloria was saying. He's very comfortable in the Tottenham setup.
Is comfortable. It's complacent.
I feel like he's come to terms with just being top goal scorer.
Who saw the bit after the game, but how emotional he was, the reception that he got from
you. Think I said that? You think I said after the game? You think I said after the game?
He's not just gonna. I think, to be honest, I think he will go. But the reason why he stayed at Spurs for so long is because he loves the club.
And because City didn't bring the money. Yeah. That's the second bit you forgot to add. Because City didn't bring the money. Because he was off.
He was ready to go.
Gary Neville interviews.
Facts.
I don't know. Any team becomes better with him in the side. Mm. And I think to compare him to Haaland's performance, Haaland didn't touch the ball in our box in the whole game. And I think if Kane is in that situation where the team's struggling, he drops deep, he gets involved in the play, he starts linking up, he brings others into play. Yeah. And I think Haaland is a fantastic goal scorer, but that is what he is. He's a goal scorer. Yeah. So unless you're providing him the chances, he's going to go through games not doing anything. But I think
do we all think that Haaland can add that element to his game?
It'd be great if he did. That'd be lovely. Yeah, but at the same time, as a man that's now scored 20 and 25, I can't really ask for more of him. Obviously, now that we're like in this stage of the league now, it'd be great for him to be doing that because, like I said, we clearly do have an issue with like our midfield at the moment and trying to connect from the backwards back from to the front. But like, that's the thing. He's a poacher. This guy's going to be in that box. And the thing is, when you hear things of like, oh, he hasn't done anything with the big six, it's because the big six have the ability to have the defenders to clamp down on that man. That man didn't touch the ball in the box because the defenders know exactly who they're going after and exactly how to close him down. So he doesn't get to it. Headers were going either right over him or he was being pushed before he could even.
To be honest, I think it depends what Pep wants because I don't think a City player is suddenly just going to add something to their game unless Pep wants that to be added to their game. So unless Pep wants to change the way that City are playing, then no, he won't. But he's capable of doing it. Yeah. You know, you don't score that many goals if technically you're not a good player and he's quick. So I think he has the ability, but it's just whether Pep wants his striker to be a nine and him to be a poacher or whether he wants to bring him into play. But it's going to take time. He's young. He has to get used to playing in that City team.
Yeah. All right. I think that's enough of Tottenham and City. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to United. Moyo, you beat Crystal Palace 2-1. Tell us how that game went.
We started off brightly. We started off very brightly, to be honest. I feel like United haven't really been starting games quick this season, other than maybe like the Liverpool game and Spurs maybe, and Chelsea, those three. So we haven't started any of the games outside of the big six games quick. But yeah, we got a penalty pretty early on. Bruno converted, happy days. And I feel like after that goal came, there was like another 20-minute spell when we were like on it, basically. Like every single attack was sort of like forward thinking. It wasn't so much sideways passing. Everyone was trying to get into the box. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is what I wanted to see. The last like 10, 15 minutes though of the first half, I could already see signs of, yeah, it's going to be one of those days. I don't know what United's issue is with Crystal Palace specifically, but they just love making those games unbearably tight. The second half started now and I was like, we need a second. Like, I'm not doing this whole, after doing the Selhurst Park game away and we conceded that last minute equaliser, I said, I'm not doing this like nail biting thing with Crystal Palace again. Like, get the job done. Second goal went in now, Rashford, a man in form.
Fantastic.
Great goal. Like, and that was a proper team goal. It was a proper team goal. Everyone's involved. Garnacho added a whole different element in the game. He's actually really, really good at like linking up with like the whole front line and midfielders. And who was surprising in that like build up play actually was Wan-Bissaka, because I always just think that he's not you know what I mean? he's not who you think he is, isn't it? But like, there were two passes he played in that sequence. One of them was like a normal pass to the right, and then the second one was like quite an incisive pass into the middle. And I was thinking, Wan-Bissaka, are you sure? Like, is this how you're feeling? And I was like, okay, cool. Good goal, 2-0. I was like, game done. And I start seeing scrapping. I said, what the hell is going on? Like, the thing is, the incident came about because Anthony was doing stupidness. And then they started scrapping, but I mean, I was like, this is not that deep. Then I started seeing, checking for potential, I was saying, for who? You know, straight away, like, for who?
I thought
it was going to be for a Crystal Palace player. Because, you know, at first when they all started fighting, I saw Crystal Palace players, like, grabbing people. So I was like, it must be for them.
Fred as well, holding someone's
shirt.
There was too much going on. Like, I don't know who was getting away.
You have to watch it, like, for real. Yeah. You need to watch different elements.
The picture going around was nuts, because Casemiro was literally there, like, but it's funny, yeah, because in the actual, like, you know, like, other angles of the video. Yeah.
It doesn't look that bad.
And I also think he was, like, this is not even me trying to back him, and they shouldn't appeal the red card, by the way. Just take the L. I actually think, yeah, he's just trying to be like, stop. Like, come here, stop, as opposed to come here, I'm going to kill you. Yeah? But he doesn't speak English. And I feel like that's the second issue he was having with the situation. Because even after he grabbed him, as soon as he grabbed him, he went, no, like, not like that. He means that, like, not like that, not like that. Then Will Hughes is like, cool. But then Will Hughes leaves that situation to go and fight someone else. So clearly Will Hughes also didn't feel like it was a
serious,
malicious
act. If he did, he would have just dropped on the floor.
He literally grabbed him. And then Casemiro was like, no. And then but obviously the rules are the rules. But once that red card happened, I said, yeah, we already know how today is going. We already know how today is going, because these lot are not going to, like, we're not going to score again. We're definitely not scoring again. Palace now scored maybe 4 or 5 minutes after Casemiro got sent off. I said, this is the longest. This is going to be the longest. It was like 15 minutes, and then they added 7. Come on now. They added 7. I said, this is not going to end well. But Martinez came up huge. He came up huge.
That block.
He's worried though. He's a serious warrior. But like, we needed that 3 points. We needed that 3 points. After the 2 points we dropped at Selhurst Park, and then obviously losing to Arsenal not the week, 2 days later, we needed those 3 points. And I feel like it was such a huge, like, we can grind that victory sort of win. But yeah, I'm happy.
Let's go back and touch on the red card a little bit. Does anyone think it was harsh?
I think the rules are the rules at the end of the day, isn't it? Like, it's one of those things where, in context, it doesn't look bad at all. But, like, in the heat of the moment and everything else that was going on, I think it's hard to, like, go and, like, compartmentalize that and go, right, nah, this is a guy that always speak English. He probably didn't mean that. He don't probably yeah, didn't mean but, that, but
I feel like the pictures made it look like he strangled him.
Oh, 100%, but that's yeah, also, I think that's also like the downside to VAR as well. You don't get many angles to, or at least they pick and choose which angles they're showing you. So,
because when you see in different angles, it doesn't look as
he was
bad.
Holding like his
but
shot.
Yeah, at one point, he was, I think he was even trying to like swap.
Yeah.
When it went to VAR, just,
But the thing is, it's not Raw or SmackDown. So once you make the action and you're grabbing this area,
it's over.
Make the referee or the VAR make a decision. And we can sit here and debate, but a player of his experience, 5 Champions Leagues, you cannot get yourself into that situation.
I can't believe that was his first straight red, because I've seen him do some nuts. He's done a lot of crazy things.
But one thing about Casemiro, he's gonna like do the worst bit ever and they'll be like, what?
He smiles afterwards. He pats the ref, he smiles and pats the ref, like, it's all right.
He let the South Londoners take over, man. Damn.
I think the summary is the VAR needs to see every single angle because it's not right as a fan or even Casemiro watching it back being, and then you see the alternative angle which clearly shows that it wasn't a strangulation and then you think, but why are you not watching that? Why do you not have that video angle to make the correct informed decision?
If you're wasting enough time to go to the thing and go watch it, why not just show the whole thing?
I don't know when I go to the screen. If the VAR told you made a mistake, why are you going to the screen just to validate the decision you're going to overturn anyway? But yeah, 3 games. But he doesn't miss the cup finals.
Should United appeal that? Because if they do, then it could reduce it. Because
you can't put your hands around someone's...
Yeah,
principle in it, because then you know we take an inch and everyone takes a mile afterwards. Once someone knows, one club does it, everyone else is like, oh, okay, so maybe I might get away with it.
I need to ask Dora, were you happy with that game though?
What, the game?
Yeah, because
I think
the whole game.
I feel like you guys like literally were fighting until the end, and I think that was the good thing about it. Because usually it would be like, oh, let's just whatever, keep it stepping. But I think you guys were. So I think you should take, there's a lot of positives, but there are a few negatives, but there's a lot of positives. You got 3 points, you keep a step in, you focus on to the next game, and it doesn't, because at the end of the day, you want the 3 points.
Yeah.
However, you got the 3 points, it doesn't matter. Whether it was 10 men, 9 men, you got the points. So.
God forbid.
Not that case, but yeah, like, you got the point, so just focus on the next game, really, because you guys got a lot of games coming up as well. So.
Yeah, we do. Right, let's talk about someone who is missing from the squad today, Martial.
Boy. If I speak, because me, if you actually roll back any pod from the past, you will know that I have been backing the nonsense. I'm not even calling, that is a groan. That's a grown man. I'm not even saying the kidney. Back in the day, I used to be like, oh, he's young. Before my eyes, he's turned
26.
He's like 27. Come on, man. Before my eyes, he's like 20. Before my eyes, he's turned 27.
The second half of his career.
Yeah.
They said, I saw a stat, I was about to smash my phone on the train. I swear to God.
He hasn't played a full 90 minutes
since
January 2021.
Come on.
2 years.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, Chelsea, come on now. That man, is actually made of jammy dodgers.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Like, he,
paper mache,
my thing is that sometimes you'll even be thinking, has there been enough time for you to even injure yourself? Like, I'm just trying to understand. Yeah. People keep saying that, like, we need to let him heal.
No, the question is, how much time has he actually had out? Because we've been talking about this in a few episodes where we talk about players being time rushed out and whatever.
If anything, Ten Hag has actually been, like, very cautious with him. Like, I remember when he was fit, like, he'd been out for, like, 5 weeks maybe. And then he was fit. He'd been training for, like, 2 weeks, still didn't play a match, but, like, he was fine. And I remember we played him, and then I think it was against Nottingham Forest, in the not the cup, in the league. And I remember because after the game, they were like, oh, why did you take off Martial after 60 minutes? Because he scored in that game. Then he was like, I'm trying to build up his minutes, and I know we have a game on Saturday because I think we had a game like 4 or 5 days later, and he was like, he doesn't think he's ready to do 2 games in a week, so I'm just trying to build him up. But that not once he came off, maybe 3 days later, by the time we got to the Wolves game, they were like, where's Martial? Bearing in mind, he got removed.
This man's an
as early. A manager. No, and then they were like, he felt some discomfort the day after the game. Come on, man. Like, my thing is, before, the argument used to be, Martial doesn't like when we buy another striker because it makes him feel like we don't trust him as a striker. How on God's earth are we supposed to manage that and put trust into you when you can't stay fit? We're having to play somebody right now, that literally looks as though he's running in quicksand, Because, and do you know what it is? Veghorst does a lot of good stuff, And I could see what he could bring if he was a bench player. Martial is so often not available that he's actually having to start.
No, but that's United need 2 strikers because of Martial's injury record, he can't even be second choice. Because if your main striker gets injured and he's not reliable, just going to go pop or something.
My thing is, then
you're down to no
strikers.
It feels
like Martial's injury is a different... You know, like sometimes, the reason why as well...
Maybe his body's just mashed up.
You think he's like...
I think it's everything. Because before people said it was the cheating. That's at first. People used to say it was the cheating. We've not heard a cheating scandal. No. He finished that one off as well. He finished the first one off, finished the second one off, cool.
Allegedly.
No, legit. My man did apology on Instagram, he did it, cool. But like, the first time it was like he's like hamstring, then it was his hip, then it was his back, then it was his ankle. What is going on? Like, the whole body's so then it's all right.
You can't recover as well to play every 3 or 4 days and you never get back to that level of fitness.
He didn't even go to the World Cup, so he had a lot of time to recover. So
ask me what he was doing.
When the Haaland was recharging, what were you doing?
And I thought as well, because... And also, do you remember, so like, he wasn't fit. Maybe he missed like 9 games in a row. And then they were like, he's back in training. And then I remember the City game came about.
The first game back.
Yeah. Exactly. The City came about. And then he was like, Ten Hag was like, oh, Martial begged me to play. And he played that first half. And then we did see him again. Off for like eight games.
Yeah, it's not reliable.
They were like, he felt a response after that. They were like, he felt some discomfort. Because you remember, Rashford got injured in that first half. Mm. And then everyone was thinking, all right, cool. It's going to have to be Rashford to come off. When I saw Rashford coming out for the second half, I said,
what's going on here? You can't blame your medical staff. Because your other players are fine.
It's a mental, I was going to say, because sometimes that discomfort is like, it's a guarded response sort of thing. Once you start feeling that... Because once you start feeling that discomfort, you're like, oh, I don't want to get to that point again. I'll stop.
I think he's constantly injured, but he's developed fear of getting injured. So as soon as he feels something, he's like, no, I can't play.
We've not got time for that. That's the truth.
You can't be the main man.
Especially in this rebuild that you guys are having. You can't be the main man, even number two.
It's all right now.
And it's really upsetting because we see what he brings to the team.
And if you hear the way Ten Hag gushes about Martial after games, like, even after he came on in the second leg, not in the Forest, Ten Hag was like, this is what I mean. Like, this is what he... Wow, he was like, wow, when Martial plays, everything is so much more dynamic. He was like, our play is so much more dynamic when Martial plays. And we've got so many games coming up. So hopefully he can stay fit because he was like, we're literally going to need him. Now imagine if Sancho wasn't back. Our numbers are, like, attacking wise, are already low. If we didn't get Weghorst on loan and Sancho was out and you're out, come on.
Yeah,
it's a long day.
It's all right now. No. You know what it is? Lived life, love, or whatever that phrase is. You've done your bit in it. Like, thank you for the FA Cup.
So do you think you guys are going to, do you want to sell him?
He has to go.
What's
the whatever he wants that? To do.
Low key, yeah. I just want to make him just a bench player.
No.
Or is he going to be happy to be?
My thing is, I'll be happy if he's a bench player, but he has to agree to half his wages. He has to agree. Because right now, yeah, he's on like, what, 200 and something to be playing what? Like, what? What like are you playing? Come on, man.
Like, what, 10 games a season?
If that, this season, he's probably only started in the league like 3 games. He's probably only started for like 3-4 games.
And the thing is, he can't complain about his confidence if you bring other players in because you're not available to play those games. Yeah. So it's, you know.
They were trying to, they were blaming Ole, to be fair. Because I'm not going to lie, this major injury started under him. It started under him. And I remember because after we lost Europa League final and Rashford was doing that speech, you know that, the speech, I promise this will be the last, all that thing. I wasn't trying to hear it. But at the time, I remember Rashford was like, you don't know how many of our players have been injured since September. And I was thinking, we're in May. Like, and but that's what I'm saying. They were killing themselves for a man that, do you get what I mean? Like, needn't I say more?
Oh,
but yeah, good luck to Martial. Off you pop. Sorry.
All right. Speaking of players, Sabitzer. Is that how to say his name?
Yeah, I think Sabitzer, yeah.
Sabitzer. He's going to be coming into the team most likely because Casemiro got a red card. What can we expect to see from him?
He's a very good ball winner. He's a dynamic player. He's decent on the ball. Decent to good on the ball. Like, I'm not trying to overhype. You know some people overhype.
From like one to McTominay, what we say?
Nah, he's a lot. He's a lot better on the ball than McTominay. Like, people kept saying, oh, he's a hybrid between Fred and Ericsson. And I don't think that's true. He is a very good ball winner, though. But he's not as attack-minded as Ericsson, to be fair. But, like, he plays... I think because, you know, at Leipzig, they sort of wanted to make every midfielder good in each midfielder position. So he has a lot of experience playing every single position in midfield. I feel like that will help a lot, especially because right now he's obviously going to be paired with Fred. And I feel like that's two good ball winners. My only concern is that they're both ball chasers. Whereas Casemiro's more like a, I know the ball's going to end up in this area. I'm going to position myself here. Yeah. As opposed to Fred is chasing that ball.
That's the kind of experience you get from winning 5 Champions League.
Exactly that. But no, he's a really good energy player. Like, you know when people say, like with McTominay, people say like he's two good traits. People say like one of them is he's like fitness levels. That McTominay could probably run for 200 minutes. Like he could probably run for the whole time. And it was like, cool. And then he's ball striking. And I feel like Sabitzer has both of those things whilst also having more of a football brain in general. So I feel like we're definitely upgrading on McTominay. I think it's just a case of how it's going to work in our midfield. But I think he had a good cameo when he came on against Palace, especially because circumstances were high then as well. But yeah, and even with the chance that they called a foul near the end, like he won the ball back and set Rashford off. And it was like, that was sort of a mini clip of like what he's about. And he's a very good ball striker. So I'm expecting some good shots as well.
Good things. All right, so let's move on to Chelsea.
Oi, oi.
Chelsea.
Just tell us how that game went.
So we had 2 weeks off. So I was expecting, you know, something.
I think everyone was.
Enzo Fernandez.
2 weeks and 700 million.
It literally took about maybe 5 minutes into the game to just kill off that whole vibe. Where do I even start from? Okay, so I'll start off with our defence. defensively, we're good. I'm loving the partnership between Badiashile and Thiago Silva. Mm. I don't know what's going on with Kukureya. I don't need to know.
I want to thank you guys because we almost bought him. I wasn't buying it.
Swallowed that transfer window, that summer transfer window back. And then Reece James obviously just came back from injury. I could tell that he wasn't 100% fit. I didn't understand why he started. I feel like he should have come on a bit later. But you know what? At least he didn't get injured. So I'm really, really happy about that. But I can still tell that there's a long way to go. I'm going to skip the midfield and come back because... Well, where do I start from? Havertz. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, he's been here for 3 years. Like,
has it been that long? Yeah. It doesn't feel like
it's been that long.
I just can't do it anymore. I just think he's finishing. He doesn't play well. I don't know. The only time I've seen him play well when he plays for Germany at this rate. Who else? Who else played when he came on?
Mudryk.
Oh yeah, Mudryk.
Did he get hooked after?
Yeah, but damn. Allegedly.
They said he's ill.
Allegedly.
He's ill. Oh, sure. I understand why you start somebody that is ill, but then I also understand because he hasn't played since November, so he's trying to build his minutes, which fares. But midfield.
Mr. Gallagher.
I just think, I just don't know what's going on there. Like, first of all, Enzo's not a DM. So the fact that he has to play in that position in itself is not good. I personally feel like, I understand Jorginho's time was basically at Chelsea done, but selling him when we don't have a proper DM made no sense to me. And now, obviously, we have a lot of injuries in the midfield. Mm. Everyone's injured. The only people available are 19 and 23.
No one would give them names.
I just don't know what they offer. They don't do anything like
the energy players like McTominay.
Just running around. Like it's just like Enzo was basically left alone a lot of the time. And I think he played well considering the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I just feel like during the transfer window we should have focused a bit trying to get midfielders first before, you know, getting all these attackers and stuff like that. Because midfield has been our issue for so long. But I understand we can't fix everything at once. So I expect the summer, I expect a big clear out. What? I expect at least 8 players to be.
Right. The only question I have to ask here, and I've seen this a lot, is in terms of like the transfer window to you, does it look like the signings that you've made is a Potter decision where he's going, all right, I want this and that player? Or is it a case of Bowley going, oh, I can afford that player, you guys can have him if you want it?
I think Potter's definitely involved in it. And also now, in comparison to the...
Involved in what capacity, though?
Like, recommendation. Like, he's approving the players. I don't think they're just going out there and say, yeah, you know what, I like the sound of that guy, let me get him.
But
I think
Potter doesn't strike me as someone who's going to reject a player anyway. So if they table someone and be like, okay, we want this
person, but I think that believe that there is some sort of plan and vision in terms of the kind of players they want to bring in. And when you look at the kind of transfers that we've made in comparison to summer, you can see that there is some sort of vision and clarity in terms of what's happening. Mm. I feel like now we have directors that know what we're doing. They're using a lot of data-based information to basically scout for players. And I could see that even with, for instance, Badiashile, I don't think we've ever...
Yeah, you know, I got linked to him like 2-3 years ago.
Go and get him if it wasn't for, you know, the new, not ownership, but new people that we had, their recruitment.
Quick question. Are we sure this data-based information sort of process is actually going to work? Because...
Well, we will find out. But so far, I feel like some of the players that they've brought in, I can see the vision. Like, I can see where we're going, what we're trying to do. Obviously, it might not work out, but, you know, I feel like with every transfer is a risk. Like, you don't know whether they're going to be a success or not. So I think in due time, but I think our big problem is the midfield. There's lack of cohesion. I know it's going to take a lot of time for the players to gel, but I just expected something. And I'm just going to the point where I'm just like, I'm defeated. Like, I feel like I watch the games just because I'm like, you know what? I love this team, But I'm like, I just, I have, this for me, the end of the, this season is done. Like, for me, it's done. I'm just like, you know what? This is a preseason before the preseason. But I still expect us to get at least, you know, Europa. European sport. Like, mm-hmm. doesn't mean just be sitting, in, be sitting in.
You've only won one in maybe the last 5 games. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to play on Thursday nights. So I'm not gonna lie, but
Brighton.
I feel like Europa it's League not is where it's at, then. It's not impossible because the gap is not.
You know that. You know that.
We're not down for long. That's what I think. That's what's giving me hope. We're not down for long.
That's why I hate you.
See the vision. So I'm upset, and it's paining me when I'm seeing my enemies, you know, flourishing. But it's just something that, you know what, it has to happen. Because let's be honest. We haven't really been playing well in the league for the last couple of years. We've just been getting by because everyone else hasn't been great. So it's needed now. We need to do this work now so that, you know what, we'll be back. Do you know what? Even Champions League, yeah?
You could win it.
Yeah. Hey, let's be honest, Real Madrid,
Chelsea,
win it
badly.
Yeah, Real Madrid, if you haven't seen the state of them right now, Liverpool. The only team that scares me a little bit is Napoli. I'm not going to lie.
Napoli
is scary. But that's our only way I think we'll be able to get into the Champions League next season. But
Champions League?
Yeah, if we win it.
Oh, if they win it.
If we win it. If not, then we'll see the year after. But I just think, I don't know, I just still can't see the style of play that Potter's trying to implement.
Do you trust Potter with your...
With
your project.
Don't.
You've got to believe the process like United have. No 10 hour, no drop. Now, you know, maybe Potter the bounce is just like, it's not really bouncing, it's kind of like rolling.
A man named Graham. It's not
I'm sorry, but we've had, you know, proper managers and you're telling me Graham is going to lead me to the promised land. Like, please, no. I just don't see, I mean, he's not going to get sacked. Let's be honest. Like, he's here until, at least I think they're going to give him until next season.
Yeah. Although Hansi Flick was at the game. The Fulham game.
I mean,
Hansi Flick was at the game in like the director's as well.
Watching Havertz?
That's what I was thinking at first. But then I was like, but he doesn't have a, he's not Germany he's manager not. No more.
Maybe he was just bored and he just wanted.
He just wanted to come to London and watch Chelsea Fulham. Come on, man.
Friday night. I'm not going to do it on a Friday night. He said, you know what?
This is what managers do. I remember that when Jose was at the FA Cup final, when United got to the final and LVG was our manager and Jose was at the final, I said,
just watch your options.
Bro, like, you know what's happening here.
But yeah, honestly, I just think we can't. There's just certain players that shouldn't. First of all, okay, sorry, I just remembered something. Why would you start Ziyech? My problem is, why would you start? His mind is not here.
His mind isn't here because you guys, not like you guys set him up, but like the director, I feel like the director
can hold that because he's been available on the transfer market for 30 days. And you want to try and get a deal done in the last.
I feel sorry for Ziyech.
You guys sent all your people to go and sign that man.
I feel sorry for Ziyech because he's been trying to leave for a long time. However, PSG can calm down with all of that. We would never do.
We don't do business
again.
Like this.
First of all, the only player we'll probably come and get is Killian. But everybody else,
you guys should go.
Only says he wants Killian. He's coming to the bridge.
She just said Killian, not even last name.
But yeah, I mean, so I just think the certain decisions that he keeps making, I'm just like, really? But I understand our midfield right now is very short, so he has to play certain individuals. But with Felix coming back, I'm hoping that at least one of them is dropped. I can't keep watching Havertz. Can we just have somebody else?
That's
like,
Fofana?
You don't have a
start. Fofana, I feel like he did look good coming on.
He did look
good. I don't think he should start. I think coming on, maybe, you know. Like, I just don't know at this rate. Like, I don't even care who you try up front. Let's try something else to see. In the summer.
Sorry,
I didn't even hear that comment. I just registered what you just said. I'm sorry, but keep Lukaku away from my club. I don't care what happens. If we sell him for 2 million, I actually don't care. Like,
so Inter can't afford him, so he's coming back.
You gotta ship him off to like a club like Palmeiras in Argentina.
All the Italian clubs are broke. I'm so sorry.
The money's in the Premier League, man.
Yeah, the money's. So I just, Yeah. So in the summer, I'm expecting a DM, another central midfielder, definitely a striker. We're done with.
It's crazy when you list it like that though, because the amount of activity you had during the transfer window, you think hasn't that been covered already?
Right. Yeah. No, it hasn't. Because some of the signings are for the future. Like for instance, maybe we've done it more consistently, but we're not the first club to give somebody an eight-year contract.
Yeah, to give somebody, but you gave
it to more players. But that was also to bypass. That was to bypass the financial bit as well. So
it's not my problem. And there's not ambitious enough to make those kind of decisions. So my thing is, yeah. So we still need a striker because, I mean, and Nkunku come in. I don't know.
He's a very good player,
but yeah, he's not a number nine. So I feel like that's what we lack. Because when you look at our record this season, it's not a matter of us conceding. It's literally we are not scoring goals, and that is our problem.
That's been a consistent problem that you've had through the years.
Mm. Yeah, and that starts off with Amito
Vieira. I can't remember the last.
So yeah, I even forgot what I was gonna say, but yeah, long couple months ahead of us. But
what is the best case scenario for Chelsea this season?
That Mbappe decides to bow down and go to the bridge.
Do you know what? Get me number three and I'm happy.
Number three, Champions League.
Get me number three, and you know what? We can forget about the league for this season. But I still think that we need to get European spot.
In some capacity.
Would you be happy with the Europa Conference?
Absolutely not. But
no, I'm not gonna lie. Europa is lit, but to be conference fair, like, is not. Conference is dead.
Are dropping into Europa, so yeah.
Europa's lit, man.
Vegas can't be cheesers. Vegas can't be cheesers. So,
yeah, I need us. I love it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know about it.
So, I need us to get top half. And also, I just want to start seeing what Potter wants us to play like. I want to see something. I want to believe in Potter because right now I don't
think he believes in himself.
I don't think he does. He doesn't have the aura.
He's just a normal guy, man.
I think when you think of Tuchel, and like last time when Boehly was on his knees to bring Ronaldo to the club and Tuchel said, I don't want him here. Yeah. I honestly cannot imagine a conversation where Boehly's going to be like, I want to spend £100 million on this player. And
he doesn't say
like,
no.
I don't want him to.
Do you know what is though? I feel like Potter's press conference persona has got people thinking he's not strict, but I feel like he is someone that puts his foot down over stuff. Do you remember when like one time Brighton fans were booing, like maybe a season and a half ago, and then I remember in the press conference because he was bare sarcastic and he was like, oh, sorry, I must have forgotten. Maybe there was a time that Brighton were uber successful before I arrived here, because that booing is like,
I'm the guy.
He was quite
right.
But I do feel like he does have a CV of building up a team, and he's doing that in the image of how he likes recruitment. I feel like he knows how to recruit for his vision. So I feel like it's one of those things that we might have to just wait and see, like as Gloria was saying, how that's going to manifest itself in a Chelsea side. Because obviously it's easier for us to see how it manifests itself in a Brighton side because, like, for example, if you're only playing once a week or like you're not playing
time and patience.
Exactly. And you're not playing European opposition. And the European side means there has to be another dimension to what you're doing. But yeah, I feel like that's the next step we have to see with Potter. But I actually think he's a very good coach. Like, I feel like when I say in the chat, like, oh, like give Potter time.
I think
it sounds like trolling. Every time I write it and then I read it and I can see like Chelsea fans saying, shut up, and then all this.
I can't, because Faye always drops that picture of him.
No, but someone can't sit cute again. Like,
no, it's just, come on, man. Chest out.
But like when I say like give him time, I'm actually being serious, but because you can't convey the seriousness in like text form.
No, but I think the problem is, I think if he had come to a Spurs or a United or an Arsenal, he gets given time because they're project clubs.
Yeah.
But I think going to a win now club when you're a project manager, I just don't think he's going to be given the time and patience from Chelsea.
No, I think he's as well.
But the new owners aren't like the old owners.
So they say.
Exactly. We don't know.
So they say. Because I'm not going to lie as well. Right now, a lot of good managers don't have a job, you know. This is like the first time.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember when United won the manager? At that moment in time, it was like, it was Ten Hag or Poch. After that, you're going to the pits of hell. Do you get what I mean? Like, but now, you have to think, Hansi Flick doesn't have a job.
Enrique doesn't have a job.
Zidane doesn't have, come on. Like, do you know what I mean?
Quality. Right now, you have to stick with Graham. Like, be for real.
Even, oh, some of our old managers are still unemployed.
Big up Ole. Ole actually tried to tell us, I remember, when we lost to Watford, like, near the end of his tenure, after the press conference, he said something like, we've come too far to give up now. I was thinking, if you don't shut up. They asked him about, like, his job security and how he feels about, like, if he's going to be sacked or not. And he was like, honestly, I feel like we've come so far. Like, we've done this for too long now that we might as well just not give up now. I think we should. I think we should. Like, and I feel like Chelsea may reach that point. It depends. Because I feel like it's easy to say, I'm committing to this manager. Like, I really want him to succeed. But, like, it's a results-driven business. Oh. So no amount of you like this manager is going to... Do you know what I mean? Like,
and also, because there's a lot of injuries right now, it's like they're taking a lot of that into account when making a decision. So I think they're going to give him a lot of time. However, I don't know if the fan base are going to give him time.
That's my point. I don't think the hierarchy will rush to sack him, but they may be forced
the pressure from the fans.
Yeah. If the fans put pressure on it.
Yeah, but... But still a long way to go because he hasn't been in here that long, so.
Yeah, he hasn't.
All right, let's just quickly touch on the Arsenal loss.
Where are you guys?
Where are the Arsenal fans?
Ducking another loss on the episode. Bad form for our Arsenal viewers and listeners.
I mean, I'm happy for Marva though.
Well, I know Marva's thinking, I should have put my name on the list.
I should have put my name on the list. I should have been available today.
All right, anyone want to talk us through that game?
I think that was the worst match I've seen Arsenal play.
Was the most Arsenal-esque, in its own fashion, sort of.
And I think that's always been the question of Arsenal. Obviously, they're out of jail because City have lost today. But can you win those type of games where you're playing maybe 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10, but can you go and get 3 points? Mm-hmm. And I think they just didn't. Will it just be a blip? Who knows? Obviously, we're all hoping and praying that this maybe is the start of the bad.
That's a tough game.
Is Tony fit?
Yeah. Sorry,
I haven't heard of him since the match fixing.
I thought he got back.
He's still playing. He's still scoring. And I'm not gonna lie, when all that allegation stuff came out, exactly, I took him out of my FPL.
How's his relationship with Bet365 right now?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I think the week after the allegations came out, he scored a brace. And I'm not gonna lie, I was about to act Met Police, send his ass to jail, man.
Brentford will be a really tough game.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about, like, data-driven. Their recruitment is very much data-driven. Like, they play really, really good football with footballers that you haven't really heard of.
Yeah.
They do really, really well. And I think the Arsenal-Everton game, Arsenal lost that battle in terms of physicality, desire, especially in midfield. And I think if Brentford kind of give that same game, but then also coming up against like a quality striker in Tony, they could drop points again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Georgina there. He did what he had to do.
Okay. And then Zinchenko. You had Zinchenko losing his head as well. So big up that one as well. Always a blue.
Double agent.
Laid into it. Like, of course, it was time wasted. Duh.
Double agents all over the place. But yeah. I know Arsenal are pissed, but as we said, City let them off.
It's a shame. It is a shame.
What they're going to say is,
and I'm not going to lie, City's performance today, Arsenal will be looking at them.
Not convincing.
We're beating these lot.
That's the thing though, because the FA Cup game that we played as well against them, unconvincing.
And that was when they didn't play their full 11 and you lot did. Sorry, it's not looking good.
No.
Long day.
Longest.
See, we trust, but
whatever Everton has,
they can't, man.
Need to.
They got the minerals for that.
Sean Dyche, could you do something for us?
That midfield.
Yeah. But, that's why I kind of hope. Like, sorry, Martha. If Everton do get relegated, like Onana and them lot are going to be up for grabs.
Do you know what it is though? football's insane now. Yeah, they still like charge that. Stupid amounts. You remember when Bournemouth got relegated and Ake went to City for like 47 million? Oh, they don't care anymore. But if you get relegated, you're still paying an arm and a leg.
The way people, like, the transfers are going, yeah. They will add,
I know you're talking about all the way transfers are going. Your man is the reason why the transfers are going like that.
Ken,
I don't expect him to come to Spurs, to be honest.
Onana does look really good, though.
We go to Yellow Sticker Shopping, so Onana
looks really good.
Might not get relegated anymore.
I think
we have to see.
I actually think their midfield has always been their
strongest.
This season their midfield has been their strongest
in the league.
Yeah, if not,
it's not clinical enough.
I even think it might be top 8 in the league, you know, like midfield, just midfield. It might be, like, they've got decent midfielders. They've got very decent midfielders, and I feel like it's funny because Sean Dyche is like, you know, that like people were saying, like, oh, like, you know, when we go to the builders, and it's like, none of those men.
What's the labourers, the people, the bricklayers?
No, there were no builders. Like, it's funny because I saw someone was like, oh, he should have turned to these lot sooner. Like, he should have turned to these lot sooner. But it's like, Everton beat Arsenal because they just, the physical element was, they were, listen, and I feel like that's what I'm saying as well. City can't replicate it. You got no midfielders, yeah. That are just pure pace and power.
Exactly. You got no pace and power. Just I'm not like,
even when De Bruyne came on today, he was losing all his jewels. Ask me, it felt like I was watching Ericsson when I was watching him, and I was thinking, ugh.
He's a luxury player.
Yeah, I actually feel like that's the only way to beat Arsenal right now. Manhandle, physical.
I think Brentford give them a game.
They could. I feel like they're probably the most.
If Arsenal takes off party again, then you just know
he was getting eaten. He was getting eaten alive.
He's the only in that midfield. He's the only one that offers that.
That's holding it exactly because you literally as soon as you saw it on the FA Cup game as well. As soon as he got subbed on, Will was in the bus walk, you know, but. Damn City.
Let's round up the episode there. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Gold Diggers Podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this video, and follow us on our socials. Until next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.